Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 53, Dear Race Directors. I know not all of the Mojo listeners race, but I think most do. And whether you do one race a year or one race a month, you likely have had some not-so-great race day experiences. Now let me preface the comments to follow with this. Most race directors do a great job, and I and most of the runners I know realize that putting on a race is a huge responsibility that requires months of careful planning, usually on the part of several people, but it also requires a great leader that's very conscientious and many dedicated volunteers. It also helps if you're putting on the race in a city that welcomes races and makes it easy for race directors. But from what I know, most cities make it pretty difficult, at least where I live. Hopefully that's not the case everywhere. Now, in a prior podcast, I asked for listeners to send me comments for race directors. Hopefully, I got them all or most of them. Scott says, do everything possible to guarantee an on-time start. It's extremely frustrating to think you have timed your warm-up properly only to end up standing around for long enough to cool down. Then there's the other late start scenario, which brings the Florida heat into play more than necessary. And if the race shirt isn't a tech shirt, then don't bother, just lower the entry fee. Rob says, I wish that during sign up they listed what number you are so that you would know if you're getting a shirt or not. Candy says, please, no more orange race shirts. Can I just get a color that actually looks flattering on people? Or how about the option of not getting a shirt for a discounted race fee? Tia says, wishing they would make shirts optional and lower the cost of the race if you opt out of a shirt. If they're not technical shirts in a woman's cut, I'm always going to get my husband's size and give it to him. Also, I wish races would have more protein options for after the race. Boiled egg and grilled chicken were some of the best things I've had. Melissa says she'd rather have a medal than a shirt. Velma says, her biggest concern is chip time versus clock time. I would like to get what I worked so hard for based on an even playing field from the time I cross the start line to the time I cross the finish line. If we have chips for a race, let's use them in that respect. Diane says, accurate mile markers. Got to have the mile markers in the first place, and then they should be accurately placed. Brian says, I think there should be a discount for races that aren't professionally timed. Also, big fan of chip time versus gun time and performance shirts versus cotton. Cotton shirts are too heavy to run in, especially if they're long sleeve. Finally, in terms of race photography, I am willing to pay a little more upfront to get race photos included rather than buy them separately. The Spartan races have started to do that, and I think it is great. I'm going to jump in here myself. If a race is not going to provide professional timing, it should definitely be several dollars less expensive. But also, the race director should feel compelled to spell out clearly and in an obvious place for all to see that the race will not be professionally timed. This should be on the registration page, on their website, and on any flyers, because otherwise, every runner is going to assume that there will be professional timing. Along those same lines, if there will be no age group awards, that should be spelled out and obvious as well in all the same places, and several more dollars should be deducted from the fee. Often nonprofits contact me for advice about their races, and they often tell me that they're a small race or they're just starting out and they can't afford a timing company or awards. But yet, they want me to promote the event to my runners. I try nicely to explain that my runners take their racing seriously, whatever their experience level or speed, and most will not do a race without professional timing and awards. Additionally, if I tell my runners about the race, I then feel compelled to explain that there won't be professional timing or awards. And then it sounds like I'm talking them out of it. So then I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm trying to help the race director, but if I have to say, but listen, they're not going to have professional timing, then it's like I'm telling people about the race and then discouraging them from doing the race. But the fact is, otherwise, they're going to assume it will have professional timing, and then they're going to come back to me and say, why'd you tell me about that race? It wasn't even a real race. Doreen says, more water and more potties. Jeez, a runner has enough to worry about. I would happily give up the shirts for water every mile and shorter bathroom lines. Joanne says, since women are the majority at races, we definitely need more potties. And this is me talking this time. Seriously, if you can't provide enough porta potties, then don't put on the race. Really, always err on the side of having more than enough. Yeah, I know they're expensive, but please treat the runners with respect and don't be thinking, well, they should just get there earlier. No matter when people arrive, most will want to visit the porta potty within the last 45 minutes before the race. Keep that in mind. Recently, I actually complained to a race director who had far underestimated the number of porta potties that were needed. He said, well, I just asked the porta potty company that I got them from, and they said this was the right number for the number of runners I expected. Never do that. If you're the race director, it's your responsibility. You know, I think it's a really good idea if new race directors, one, join associations of race directors, two, they should always get certified by either, by one of the bodies that certifies race directors, and they could talk to other race directors, help other race directors put on events so that they can learn from them and mentor the new race director. So that helps things like this from not happening. All of us know races in our areas that have the reputation for being very well run. New race directors should, you know, maybe they could sort of shadow those experienced race directors for several races, and that way they'd know everything they need to know and they could get it right. And I think the whole race community would appreciate that very much. So what I told him anyway is never do that. Don't let somebody else give you advice if it's not an experienced race director. A race is like no other event. I even found a chart on one porta potty website which listed the suggested number of porta potties based on the number of participants in an event and the length of the event. But here's the thing, races are not like other events. They're not like an art festival or a music festival, for example. Visits to the porta potties will be spread out over hours at one of those events. But at a race, everybody there is going to try to get into the potty line or into a porta potty within a 30-minute window. Marianne said, lower entry fee and have shirts and medals optional. Chrono chips on bibs instead of returnable chips. More water stops. For large runs, enforce corral starts. Consider mailing race bibs with chips to early registrants. The Jersey Shore race does this, and it's very helpful for out-of-town runners. Also, mail the awards. Also, I enjoy a scenic route when possible. I'm not the fastest runner, so I enjoy looking around. Jenna says, more bathrooms or at least more toilet paper in them with hand sanitizer. I like fruit that has to be peeled so I don't have everyone's hands on it. I don't need a huge meal. I wish they could do other awards besides just the fastest, although, of course, they do need to do that. But I think it would be great to spice it up if it is a themed race with best costume, best photo. Some of us will never get the fast awards, but I can definitely get the best photo bomb. Chip timing is imperative if we want to PR. Holly said she would love to see less bling and lower prices, although she said she knows she's in the minority there. I don't love medals and would much prefer a useful token from a race, like a mug. Oh, yeah, race directors. I'm allergic to bananas, kind of an issue at some races. Jim says, if it's chip timed, please make sure to report the chip times. If the race director hires a professional timing company, then in the contract, they should make sure it is stipulated that chip times will be posted. I'll jump in here again. This is a big issue with me. It saddens me when timing companies say that if people want accurate times, they should get up in the front. That's horrible advice. all runners should start at an appropriate distance back from the front based on their expected speed. This is good for everyone, and most runners wisely do this. It's very unsafe for a runner to start too far up in the pack. I believe every race director wants runners to do this as well. But if chip times are not reported, and these runners want a PR, they likely will have to start far up. It just won't work. I've been specifically told by a representative of a timing company that it only matters for the faster runners, and they're up front anyway. That made me crazy. Even if a runner is just trying to break 40 minutes for 5K, or whatever, every runner is wanting to PR, or they at least want to know what their time is. That person's race is every bit as important as everybody else's, and if they register for a race that advertises that it's chip timed, they should be able to realistically expect that their chip time will be posted. And I have to tell you, I get lots of phone calls and emails when we do a race and chip times are not reported. Please contact the race director and tell them, because this does need to be changed. They should always, always be publishing the chip times if it's a chip-timed race. Michelle says, bananas, bananas, bananas. I get it. Bananas are good for you, but I'm allergic. How about an orange here and there? Audra says, mark the course accurately. Make sure it's obvious, especially if there are two different races going on at the same time. There is nothing worse than running a race only to find out you took a wrong turn because the course was not well marked or the course marshals didn't know what they were doing. From me, I would say if this happens, the race director should refund your entry fee and make a formal apology to the runners. And I got to tell you, I've never seen that happen. But certainly, they should be doing it. You know, it's if you pay for a race and then the course is mismarked or the guidance on the part of the course marshals wasn't good enough, then it's useless to you. Then it wasn't a race because your time doesn't mean anything, because you're disqualified because you didn't do the right race. In a case like that, they should be refunding money. Now, I know race directors would say, the money's already spent, we can't do that. Well, you know, that's not a good enough answer. I say make sure you get that right. Jeremiah says, if you know your race book is out of date, fix it. I don't want to find out the night before the race. Also, why even list a checkpoint with no aid station? That means nothing to me when I'm looking for water. Candy says, I love it when they have chocolate milk at the finish. My favorite recovery drink. Katie says, make sure you have the right size shirt on race day for the people who pre-registered. I can't believe it when I register weeks in advance only to be told at packet pickup that they're out of shirts in my size because they had more people show up for late registration. That's just not right. Tony says, I'd like to see more race directors pay attention to post-race. This means having porta-potties ready, having multiple serving lanes for post-race fuel, water, and food, and having volunteers who are coached on what to expect and are chipper. Vicky says, make sure there's enough food, especially bananas, for everyone. I have finished, even with lots of folks behind me, and had barely scraps of food left over. This can also be from non-caring, faster runners who sometimes like to take three or four of everything, including the water. Elena and Robert both suggested child care. They said that many more parents would be able to do races if there was child care. I'll jump in here. I think that's a great idea. And having been a high school teacher for a long time, I'll bet you could get high school students who, and I would say get ones who are certified babysitters, to come and handle this. And they could actually get community service credit for doing it. So it could help out them as well. Peter says, I don't like when races only give awards to the top 20. That means anyone over 40 has no shot. That's completely unfair, and if a couple of cross-country teams happen to show up, forget it. Eileen says, I wish that each water or fuel stop would be spread out so there's less bottlenecking, and for races that have both water and sports drink, always have it in the same order, not water, then Gatorade at stop one, and Gatorade, then water at stop two. When that's not possible, if the stop is being used twice in a race, then someone loud out front should be telling runners the order. And speaking of food options, please remember us slobies. It's so discouraging to finish mid or back of the pack and find nothing but crumbs. Cindy says, I love it when they have misters on a hot day, and race directors need to get their act together and post the course map on the website, and on race morning have the race course posted and clearly mark where the starting line and finish line are. There's nothing like showing up on race morning and having no one knowing where the starting line will be. And all race directors should use a megaphone to give directions. Often they don't, and only the people in the first few rows hear the race instructions. And plenty of volunteers. It's my pet peeve. I have to stand in line for 10 minutes to check in on race morning because they don't have enough volunteers, and sometimes the pre-registered entrants have to stand in line longer than people registering on race morning. Lauren says, thank you to race directors who start the races on time. Nothing worse than being ready to run and then having to wait around. Nick says, my number one issue with most races is the limited number of porta potties pre-race. There always seems to be half as many as necessary for the number of participants. I'm sure there's got to be a pretty accurate porta potties per person formula out there that race directors have yet to stumble upon. I'd also like to see some different food options post-race. I've been to way too many races where it's muffins, bagels, pizza, and cookies. How about something with a little more nutritional value? Joyce says, every race should be unique. Like Space Coast Marathon and Half gives out beach towels. I love that. Christina says, my top three things. 1, enough porta potties for the crowd. If there's a registration surge, get more. 2, friendly and informed volunteers. I was always blessed to work with such people myself. 3, longer races in Florida. Please, oh, please provide Gatorade and ample water. If a race has these three things, I will go back every year. Nicole says, I like bananas. I don't like cotton shirts or shirts that are obviously unpopular colors. I do like timing chips on bibs, not on shoes, and definitely not the kind you return. I love how at Disney races, you have the option to send your race info or times to friends and family through a text or email during the race. That is super cool. And they all should allow same-day registration. Water stops shouldn't have stations directly across from each other on the course. They should be staggered to avoid bottlenecking. Oh, and all races should allow registration transfers. That's huge. So stupid that they don't do that for most. Jackie says, we need enough water and porta potties for all the runners. By the way, I hate all the shirts they give out at races. This I can do without. I always ask for an extra large for my husband, and I always have to explain to the volunteers at the races that I do not want a women's shirt, but a man's shirt. But of course, now my husband has a closet full of race shirts. Jennifer says, 1, enough water and Gatorade. 2, decent shirt. I always feel ripped off when the shirt sucks. Mainly the material. Invest in good quality. 3, porta potties. Please, enough for the crowd. 4, volunteers that are informed. 5, enough food for after the race. Denise said, good volunteers are critical and ample water stations throughout the race. I prefer mail-in options over registering online because I hate paying online registration fees. Christy says, I have especially noticed this at some of the large races when you have a half marathon and a full marathon with an after party. You need the half to start much later than the full because otherwise those of us who have run the full have nothing to greet us at the end of the race. All the food is gone, volunteers are sparse, and the entertainment is over. I feel that most of us do not finish a full in 3 hours and therefore do not get to enjoy the amenities. And one more comment, and this one's from me. Many races are able to get many, many businesses to donate products to give away, which is great. But please don't do this after the award ceremony. If you look around, you'll find that 90% of the runners are gone by then. I've seen countless race directors with prizes left over because by the time they get around to giving them out, everyone is gone. One local race does it this way. They line up the gifts on a long table and draw race numbers before the race ever starts, before race morning. Then, when runners arrive, they can visit the gift table before the race to look to see if they want anything. Kudos to the HCSO Ranch Run for using this method. I've always thought it was brilliant. Eileen says, I am so grateful to the race directors who do this because they love it. That passion shows. And Tia agrees, saying, I have seen a race totally put together for race day, and it is some serious hard work. One last thing. Just for kicks, I asked the Mojo for Running Facebook page and in my Run Tampa group, what is their favorite color for a race shirt? By this, I mean the shirt that they receive from the race. First place was blue. Second place was a three-way tie between navy, white, and yellow. Next was red. Interestingly, no one said tan, by the way. Several people said anything bright or neon. But several people also said they won't wear anything that's neon. Also, many people commented that they would really like the option of not getting a shirt and having more money. And saving a little money. But I will mention this. I understand, and I know any race director listening to this will be thinking, we have to have the shirts for the advertising. That's the main place where advertisers get their value out of supporting the race and providing money. Backing for the race. So I don't know if race shirts could ever go away. I don't know if there's any other good way for advertisers to get their money's worth. So if anybody has any ideas, hey, send them forward. And race directors listening to this, I'll bet a lot of race directors have comments based on what they've just heard. And I would be more than happy to do another podcast with race director comments. So feel free to send them along. In fact, I've decided to do another whole podcast just on race shirts, although it'll be a brief one. But if you have input and you haven't posted it, you haven't emailed it, please go to the Mojo for Running Facebook page and leave your comments. Specifically, one thing no one commented on was the artwork for shirts. I'd like to hear more about that. And please consider that while some people said they'd like to see race shirts made optional, that's something that, you know, like I just said, that's probably not an option. But if anybody does have any other option, any way that we could that we could advertise for the sponsors for the race, send that along. That's all for today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on iTunes. And I'd love it if you would rate it as well while you're there. The other day I noticed we had 100 ratings, and that's wonderful. But I really always want it to move up higher in the category. If you have any friends who've talked about becoming runners, please tell them to look for the Beginner Runner Village podcast. As I record this podcast, it's the end of August 2013. That new podcast will be up within the next several days, and the accompanying Beginner Runner Village training program will launch in September. The Beginner Runner Village .com website is already up. It's not quite finished, but you can go there and read what's on it and watch the slideshow. And keep an eye on that. Like I said, if you have any friends that have thought about running, the whole idea of the Beginner Runner Village program is that it is aimed at those people who have always wanted to run, but who feel like they're not athletes, they're out of shape, it would be too hard for them. It would be impossible for them. This new program I'm starting is for people for whom the typical Couch to 5K program might be a little too much too soon. So this program is going to take 6 months to get an unfit, non-running person to the point where they can do a 5K. So it's just directed at that audience, and then later on I'll probably do something that's more like a typical Couch to 5K as well. All right, here's today's quote. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm telling you it's going to be worth it. Art Williams.